in relation to this application. Firstly, let me say there's much has been done to amend our application to address issues that have been raised both by council and in submissions from the general public, of which I might add there were only four submissions. This includes withdrawing a previous application and undertaking detailed modelling of where the best location was for the private open space to ensure maximum possible solar access can be achieved, particularly given that the impact from overshadowing from adjoining neighbours is the main issue in terms of overshadowing of our property. We've removed the balcony that's caused some overlooking concerns to a neighbour, and we detailed to council satisfaction at the time how there are no impacts on view sharing. In our discussions with council early on, they've made it quite clear that while they accept two dwellings can be accommodated on the site, it is now their perception that the bulk and scale of the development results in issues relating to lot size, solar access, visual amenity, site layout, and streetscape appearance. In relation to the size of lots per se, council has continually approved lot sizes below 200 square metres and below our proposed 173 square metre lot sizes. Council have also accepted that two dwellings can be accommodated on this site. Any development on this site for semi-detached dwellings will result in the subdivision pattern that we have proposed, particularly given the preference for one dwelling to face Church Street and one dwelling to face Fraser Street. In relation to height and bulk, an established planning principle in the Land and Environment Court is, and I quote Senior Commissioner John Roseth, the appropriateness of a proposal's height, bulk and scale is most usefully assessed against the planning controls related to these attributes, such as maximum height, floor space ratio, site coverage, and setbacks. While there is no maximum height limit in the LEP for our site, the proposal still does not comply with the maximum 3.6 metre building wall height for development in the Leichhardt Park distinctive neighbourhood. The relevant desired future controls for this distinctive neighbourhood states that they must maintain the character of the area by keeping the development consistent in architectural style, built form and materials, and maintain, and this is the important point, and maintain and enhance the predominant low-scale cottage character of the residential area. Now...
Continue.
Sorry? In thank you.
That's your 3 minutes, but...
Oh, is that the 3 minutes?
Yes,
already?
But my no, time you're on a roll, you continue.
Thank you. Look, however, in the Iron Cove backdrop sub-area, Council's DCP provides a contradictory and more detailed and specific character assessment for where the subject site is located. And it states, and I quote, there is less consistency in this area in terms of architectural style and built form character, with a greater occurrence of two-storey developments. And you would have seen that on site with a lot of two-storey developments existing and a lot of two-storey developments being recently approved by council. As the panel would have seen on this, the area is not characterised by low-scale cottages and the need to be protected by a 3.6 metre wall height control is not necessary. The sub-area is characterised more by two-storey dwellings, as the DCP states, and more particularly on corner locations where the buildings have greater bulk and scale. I believe greater weight should be placed on the unique characteristics of the sub-area than the more general observations made by the distinctive neighbourhood character area, particularly where they're so contradictory. The council, on the other hand, has chosen to completely ignore the relevant DCP provisions of the sub-area in their development assessment report. It's not mentioned at all. The proposal is two storeys in height, it's compatible with the existing area and can be normally expected and approved by council with any sort of development in this area. The flat roof form is consistent with directions from council. We were told to, we originally suggested a flat roof, we were told to put a pitch roof, then we were told to take out a pitch roof and put a flat roof back. Floor space ratio complies, it actually is not, it's well below the maximum floor space ratio. Site coverage, landscaped area, all complies with the requirements of council. in relation to setbacks, we don't comply. But we comply with the objectives of the setbacks. Particularly, we reflect the setbacks of the existing building on the site. We reflect the established pattern of setbacks for corner allotments fronting Church Street, such as 8, 18, 20, 32, 34, 44 and 57 Church Street. We maintain adequate separation between buildings and we ensure the development protects the existing residential amenity of adjoining sites in terms of visual and acoustic privacy, air circulation, solar access, daylight, outlook and views. In addition, the pre-DA advice from council in relation to the original DA states, in relation to setbacks, could be supported on planning grounds subject to a solar analysis demonstrating overshadowing and solar access to the dwellings required, private open space and dining and living areas, and protection of surrounding affected dwellings. I think what council officers have failed, and I'll just finish it off on this, what council officers have failed to recognise in our proposal is the overshadowing of our private open space is no longer a direct result of our building. It is no longer a result of our building. It's the buildings next door, which are built almost up against the boundary on two sides, and also the fences. That's what's causing the issue with the overshadowing of private open space. And it's only in one private open space area. The other building, we've decreased the size of the building and we've improved the overshadowing to comply with council requirements. So what I'm saying is I'd like to finish off by saying that Lilyfield is widely recognised as a place for growing families because of the availability of larger homes. This is where we believe the interests of the general public is best served, by providing large family homes in Lilyfield, and we would hope that the panel would support our application. Thank you.
Mr. Rathby, did you want to add to anything to what's been said?
If I may add just a few points, if you don't mind. Thank you, panel members, for the opportunity. Again, my name is Derek Rathby. I am the architect. I'll just make a few comments from an architectural point of view. If I may just say, and just further elaborate on Tony's point there, in terms of dealing with this particular council and council staff, I found quite surprising. Our initial discussions with council were categorical in saying that the application will be refused if we proposed a flat roof. We, against my recommendation, the client modified it and put in a pitch roof. Council then turned around and said they were happy to modify it back to a flat roof. Now, I only mention that because there's a pattern there of this approach of putting aside proper consideration of the proposal, in my view. And I'll come back to that. But the next point, as what Tony said, in terms of the subdivision pattern, there are over 50 and more in the area that have a smaller subdivision pattern than this site. And so I've gone through that. There are, and including within 10 houses of the subject site. And in council's report, there's nothing said about the subdivision pattern in the area in terms of similar site size. So I'm just surprised that that's not included. The other aspect for me is that as an architect, I get quite frustrated where time and time again I come across proposals where councils, against the internal policy, the DCP says that elevated roof terraces are considered. This or can be considered in certain circumstances. I constantly hear from councils that they will refuse to consider it, and often in the case, the courts are burdened because we have to take these matters to court, and this has a perfectly legitimate roof terrace that can be considered, receives the proper amount of sunlight and should be considered. And time again, we take these matters to court and straight away they're accepted, but we get this categorical response from council to say we will not consider it. Now, we even modified the design several times to show that we can do a roof terrace here or there. Even the current proposal, you know, it can easily, if there is a size limitation, it can easily be slightly increased, and it receives, and it, the current roof terrace has no overlooking because it is facing the street, and it, if need be, it can easily be increased in size, but it is a good proportion at the moment. that's the main point. It really is, really, from my understanding, it really came down to the matter of the private open space as a reason that, in terms of bulk and scale, and I don't think that is more of an internal policy than anything else, and I don't think that is reasonable, and I would like the panel to consider that an elevated roof terrace is acceptable.
Have you? That's it. All right.
Panel, do you want to design it now or will you adjourn?
We adjourn.
All right.
Any questions?
I'll ask a question.
Sorry to interrupt. I forgot to mention, I do actually have, so I noticed that there was objections from across the road. We did actually go, the neighbour at number 30, and I think that you actually went there as well. At the time, during this process, we did actually submit information to council. The neighbour was kind to allow us to go into the property and actually take a photo from their balcony. And it's quite clear, we didn't actually provide a wireframe of that, but it's very clear just from the photograph that there is no loss of views towards the street. So I'm happy to provide, I actually brought the photograph of that, so if you do want to actually view the photograph from the balcony, I'm happy to provide that to the panel.
All right, you can leave that with us if you can. Questions?
When we went out on site, we spoke to you, and you mentioned that the roof terrace had been deleted, I thought, in these plans. I couldn't be mistaken. I thought when you said we'd had discussion with councils and we deleted the roof terrace, or we had deleted a balcony or something.
They were on the previous application.
So what we have in front of us, the roof terrace issue is a non-issue. Is that right?
Not there.
Sorry.
There's no roof terrace.
There is a roof terrace, but there was various, and Tony was dealing with council, there was various options that were proposed. Currently there is a roof terrace.
That's on top of the
I'm confused. Okay, so that's the terrace that you're talking about.
That's the terrace we're talking about.
Because I thought there was an issue of a balcony overlooking the property down the street. Is that the same? No?
There's no issues.
That was on the side boundary.
Okay.
There was a balcony there.
Right. So whatever we see on the plans now is what we've got. Yes. Forget about what happened to and fro with the council in the past.
Yes.
Okay. And the other just query I want to make is that to get you over the line with the application, you have to satisfy the tests under clause 4.6 of the LEP.
Yes.
Just reading your clause 4.6 submission, I notice you haven't addressed the objectives of the development standard, which is one of the key requirements. Like, just reading the officer's report and your submission, I can't see, like, to my mind, one of the key issues is in terms of the subdivision pattern is to ensure that the subdivision creates lots of regular shapes and that they're complementary and compatible with the character, style, orientation and pattern of the surrounding area. There doesn't seem to be any analysis. Well, there's nothing in the 4.6 submission to address that, and that seems to be one of the key things. Your subdivision lots are under the minimum lot size. You have to put up strong arguments as to why the lot sizes are okay. I just can't see that in your submission.
Well, it should be in there. I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me. It should be in there. But, I mean, my personal view is council continuously approving below the minimum lot size. I don't say they've abandoned it, but by close, I mean, when you continuously approve the lots that are 130, 140 square metres, I see, and I've gone through all the applications I can possibly go through to have a look at. I mean, if you don't call that abandoning, you'll call that at least giving away a lot.
So are you saying these are subdivision applications?
Subdivision.
Or they're houses on small lots?
Subdivision applications that are the same as ours, which are semi-detached developments that include subdivisions. I've got one just around the corner which had 46 objections. It's above the FSR. It's outside the BLZ. It doesn't comply with setbacks. And it is well below the lot size. And that was approved six, seven months ago. Council is just continuously approving lots that are smaller than 200 square metres. I don't even see that as an issue. I mean, council said to me, one of the first things council said to me when we spoke to council was, we support
two dwellings going on this site. We don't support the size of it. We've got issues with the size. We've got issues with the solar access to the lots.
Not necessarily. You can do a dual occupancy. Dual occupancy is permissible in the zone.
Sorry?
Dual occupancy is permissible. Yeah. So that's not doesn't inquire, require subdivision. So just that you're to get to no, but to get across the line, you have to meet the technicalities of the 4.6 submission. No, okay.
Yes, I was just looking at the terrace area that you referred to, which is outside the bedrooms on the upper level, and it is right on the boundary. And then I looked at the elevation, and it seems like there's a solid. I can't quite tell because I can't see what materials and finishes it is. So, and it's right on the boundary, on the street boundary with Fraser.
Yes.
Not even set back with a planter or anything else.
That's in order with all the development down the street. It's exactly the same. If you notice, when you went down there, all the garages are on the boundary, and all of them have a balustrade, and nearly all of them are glass balustrade. So this is in keeping with the pattern down the street. That's why it's there.
And did you consider the concept of it being a dual occupancy? Sorry, I've got this screen between
that's
us.
That's all right. That's all right. We can look around.
Of a dual occupancy.
Sorry?
Did you consider it being a dual occupancy, which would then not require subdivision?
Yes, we thought about that. But we thought, look, one of the things is, and there was a big article, probably one of the things that made up my mind, there's a big article in a paper only about 6 months ago, and it talked about Lilyfield, our area, and it just talked about how family homes on Torrens Title, large homes for families. That's why Lilyfield last year was one of only five suburbs in Sydney that actually went up in value, continued to rise. It went up 5%. It was one of only five that have bucked the trend. And they said in this article, the main reason that is because it's an area where families are going continuously to look for larger homes on Torrens Title allotments. To us, that meant, look, and I've got to say, a Torrens Title or Strata Title, what difference does it make? I mean, you walk down the street, nobody's going to notice. It doesn't impact on anybody.
There is a huge difference because the clause 4.6 doesn't require the percentage variation.
I know that. I'm talking about impact on the neighbourhood, impact on the neighbours, the amenity. Does it have any of those issues? No. To me, it doesn't. It's never been one of the main things that I've concentrated on in my time. If you need to share some property, then you need to do a strata subdivision. If you don't need to share, then it's a Torrens Title. It's only lines, invisible lines on the ground. Nobody sees them.
And I suppose the other thing is that this presents as the two garages to the street with a double driveway, whereas down the street further, you might have terraces above the garages or carports.
Yes.
But they're not presenting as a double.
No, they're not.
Opening.
They're all singles.
So, and yes, and this then doesn't propose any setback to the balcony.
Well,
double fronted, double garaged balcony.
Council's never raised that as an issue. Haven't responded to us in that regard to having an issue with that. Otherwise, we could quite easily look at redesigning that garage to be somewhere else, or if it's such a big issue, we'd have a look at that. But it hasn't been brought up as an issue.
And just one last question of the architect. In terms of the materials, colours and finishes, do you think that's appropriate in terms of the character of this area?
It is, from the point of view, we actually provided Council a comprehensive character assessment where we've analysed all the streets around the area. This is in close proximity to the waterfront. It's very common to have a mixture of architectural styles, and it is obvious in this location that there is. This is not in the same character as further up the road where you do have the heritage conservation area, where you do have very strict regimented consistency of those bungalows and houses along, I can't recall the name, but for this particular location, there are quite a lot of similar style there, of this that have been redeveloped. I know that there is some lower scale across the road and further down the hill, but typically they are modern, and there is a mixture of style. All new houses in the area that have done that. It's the older ones which haven't been redeveloped that do retain the lower scale, but all sites that have been redeveloped are a complete contrast to that style.
Can I just add to that, and I just repeat something that I said earlier that I said was very important.
Oops, sorry.
That was very important, is that Council's DCP actually says about our area and the smaller sub-precinct of our area, it actually says that there is less consistency in terms of architectural style and built form character with a greater occurrence of two-storey development. And that's what's happening in that area. The very modern two-storey type developments are happening and being approved throughout the area in accordance with what the DCP is saying about the sub-area precinct, not the greater, broader neighbourhood precinct.
Well, as indicated, we propose to take an adjournment at this stage. We've been sitting for a while, and we'll come back shortly, firstly with a decision in this matter, and then we will deal with the remaining matters.
Thank you.
Thank you. We now return to item number 8 in the agenda, that is the proposed development at 55 Church Street, Lilyfield. The panel has come to a decision which is unanimous. The panel's decision is to adopt the recommendation for refusal. Panel has carefully considered what's been put to us. We agree that the siting of the building is not within the appropriate building location zones, side setbacks and envelope, where it can reasonably be assumed that development will occur. We think that the proposed creation of new lots that are less than their minimum lot size results in an apparent increase in bulk, form and scale of the development. The proposed lot sizes and layouts are not consistent with the prevailing pattern of subdivision in Church Street, which are generally rectangular in shape with areas in excess of 200 square metres. And we think that the proposal is generally inconsistent with the objectives of the zone, including the objective of the particular standard in this instance. So the panel is, as I've said, unanimously refusing the application for the reasons set out in the assessment report, with some slight variations just to tidy it up. What have we got here? We should set out what the decision is. The formal decision is that which appears on the screen. We are not prepared to vary the minimum lot size under clause 4.6 for the reasons set out in paragraph A. In paragraph B, exercising the authorities of the council, we refuse the development consent for the reasons, various reasons which follow, which are generally in accordance with those set out in the assessment report. We've deleted and tweaked some of the others, but basically they are the same. So that is the unanimous determination of the panel. So we don't need to vote. So thank you for your attendance in that. And we can move on to the next item. Number 9 Gladstone Street, Balmain. This is an application to demolish a dilapidated single-storey residence and construct a new two-storey residence on that block of land. We have a number of speakers registered to address us, but before we hear from the objectors, we would like to hear from the applicant first. Mr. Glendenning and Mr. Stevens, would you both like to come forward, please?
Thank you for your time. I'm Mr. Stevens, Aaron Stevens, and this is Brendan.
Brendan Glendenning, Town
Planner. In order to assist you, the panel is minded to refuse this application. I can put up on the screen the grounds upon which we propose to refuse the application, and you can then address us on them. While we're waiting for that, we are concerned about what is proposed here to elevate the floor of the building above natural ground level, which increases a number of adverse impacts upon the adjoining properties. Why have you elevated it? Why couldn't it be on ground level?
That's a very good question. We had an earlier application which had a lower ground level. We then had multiple conversations, communication with council, where we were asked to retain the existing floor level. So that existing floor level is what we retained as existing ground floor level, and that then set the basis for the height of the building above.
Who asked you to retain the existing ground floor level?
Our planner, representative through council at the time, Katerina Lianos. I think I've got her last name right. Yes. So in discussions with Katerina and heritage consultation within council, it was requested that we retain that existing floor level, and which in turn meant we could retain the front facade, the front entry sequence levels and things like that. And so that's where we sort of set our starting point for the baseline to then go up two levels above that. So the existing floor level is the proposed floor level is as per the existing, which means we can keep those front, we can reinstate the front windows, we can reinstate the front door, we can keep the bearers in that front room, which was all part of a request through the council heritage as well.
Yes, so sorry to interject. This application isn't actually a demolition application. There is some retention of original fabric, including the floor, like you said.
The front
wall. The floor we would have retained if we could, but the advice of the structural engineer is that it's not possible.
Yeah, so we're retaining the bearers, not the actual floor itself.
So that's the floor level just comes straight from that.
Yeah.
There's nothing in the Heritage Officer's report that we have before us that suggests that you should retain those features of the existing building.
Yeah, it was a meeting we had with Council before we were given another 14 days to resubmit. And at that meeting, it was made very clear to us that we needed to do a few things. And one of them was to get a second engineer's report, because our first engineer's report basically substantiated the demolition of the building because of its state of disrepair. After that meeting with the council, it was agreed that we would seek a second opinion. We went and did that. And the intent there was to identify what, if anything, we possibly could retain of the existing building. It was a short list, I agree. It did come back quite short in its what we could retain. But part of what we could retain, and as indicated in our council meeting with the planners and the heritage officers that were there at the time, was trying to retain as much of that original fabric as we could, which was that front wall, which is, you might have seen it after your site visit, behind the wall that encroaches over the front boundary. So not the built-in veranda, but the wall behind that, the weatherboard wall with the windows and the doorway in it, which is in that front sort of vestibule if you open that front door off to the side. So part of that conversation was to try to retain as much of that as possible. After council's first site visit, the construction manager, Linda, apologies, I don't have her last name.
Kerry,
sorry, thank you. Much better with names than I am. Kerry actually had inspected the floors and asked that we do retain those front floors as well. So we then went through the exercise of having another expert come through the site, which is the report you have. And in that report, they identified that they felt we could keep the front barriers, the front wall, and the chimney stack, which, although is askew and might need to be dismounted to reconstruct, could be reused. So we took all their advice and we retained all those elements. That, in turn, meant that this application shifted slightly from the one before and the floor level was raised to retain it.
The problem we see is that by doing that, it has consequential adverse impacts on the adjoining properties. And having visited the adjoining properties, several of them, we can see that a better overall outcome would be one which does not do that, but reduces the floor level down to somewhere close to natural ground level, which may be a metre or so lower. And that would then obviate the adverse impacts about which we have heard from the neighbours.
I'd have to say that does have a sense to it, because that was our original application, which was very similar to what you see before you now. But the levels, based off our advice, that there was nothing that could be retained at that point in time, were lower.
I guess from our point of view, we've just read what's in the report, and the report gave me the clear impression that the demolition was like largely proposed. It was not, and the heritage person has made recommendations for setting back the first floor level, so it wasn't all like heritage said it's okay. They wanted further setbacks at the first floor level.
So, can I just respond to that? It's demolition in the legal sense of the word. There's not much being retained. But the application does seek to retain some elements and actually reconstruct some elements as well. I think that is mentioned in the report. The chimney to be retained, rebuilt and reconstructed. It's currently on a lien. It's an original chimney from 1850s. The application seeks to rebuild that chimney in its original location.
And that direction was taken with very clear expressed requests from our council meeting at that point in time.
So I guess the courts would probably call this a demolition, but there are some elements that are sought for retention.
So on the drawings, have you got the drawings there in front of you? Where do I see on the drawings that it says, besides the chimney, which is notated, where does it say which fabric that, or walls that are being retained?
Yep, certainly. So the plans, the first plans, and I'll just pull up the relevant document. So if you look at DA09D.
Ground floor plan?
My apologies, ground floor plan.
Yep, got it.
So the notes near the street address, which is Gladstone Street. See how there's a vertical column of notes? So they have the word retain or reinstate. So that's mainly to do with the elements that are being reinstated or retained as per the report.
So we don't know if it's new or old?
I'm sorry, the
question... It's either retain or replace. Which is it?
Ah, right. So based off the report's basically, the structural engineer's report said that there were elements that could be retained and some would need to be reinstated. So it was dealt with because of the state of disrepair. It wasn't that it could just be wholly retained. There were elements that would need to be removed and reinstated or repaired or retained. So it was going to be a case-by-case as we got into the building and examined each of those elements, because there was a lot of rot, wear, structural inadequacy that we needed to address only by peeling back some of the substrate.
And is it those three parts of that front wall that then goes on to dictate the finished floor level? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so the front wall, by reinstating the window and door configuration exists, but it's a bit out of sync and there's a bad infill. You might have seen it when you were there. The intent is to reinstate the door. So the doorway then dictates the floor. And part of the structural engineer's report was also to retain the front bearers, which are the structure of that front floor. So those two things, retaining the front door and the bearers, dictated the first floor level, which is what's existing.
And if the council officers hadn't pushed that for or suggested that for heritage reasons,
yep,
you would have done something differently?
Yes, we would have done, and I can certainly confer with my clients on this, but the intent was to have the same building at a lower height.
Yeah, one thing to point out, I'd like to point out as well, is that the best fabric in this dwelling is the chimney, which we've talked about already, and the front wall of the dwelling. So that's been hidden for decades by a pretty poor addition that's been put in there at a later stage. This application seeks to remove the intrusion in the front part of the dwelling and reinstate that in its entirety. So that includes the original windows and the cladding. So I think that's probably the most important fabric for any heritage item, particularly just a dwelling in an older side of like Balmain, is the front facade. That front facade's been hidden for decades and this application seeks to reinstate it in its original location as well.
Can I just ask one more question? And did you have like a worked up drawing of a scheme that didn't rely on the existing floor levels be retained? Like, do you have drawings for that already done?
We had a full application in with council. And we had a council meeting where we were called in and we met with the planner and heritage and the team leader of that group at that time. And at that meeting, they suggested that because the building was slightly more central, so it had setbacks from both sides. So right now we've pushed it to one boundary to eliminate more shadows. So there's a few issues that we had. That particular scheme was a full DA submission at a lower level. This is not the exact same scheme because we've addressed many other issues or concerns through this scheme, but one of them was to retain the floor level, and as such, the building came up.
And sorry, that scheme was withdrawn after discussions with the council or had never been actually formally lodged?
It was formally lodged.
It was.
It was formally lodged in November last year.
Right.
We've been at this a little while.
Sure.
It was formally lodged. It went through all the process of advertising, which is what neighbours would have seen as well.
Okay.
And at that meeting, we were told, okay, there are some issues we need to address. We have a formal correspondence from council on those issues. This is the result of addressing those issues, which coupled with the new structural report, which coupled with retaining the front entry and the floor levels. So it was all a bit of a cause and effect scenario.
Okay.
So we've tried to respond to, which is why I believe from council's point of view, this was put up for approval, respond to all their requests as much as we could, if not just blatantly respond to them and agree.
Just one further question on that. And could you not, if you wanted to retain the veranda and that very front portion, and then when I look at the roof plan over it, perhaps that might be the portion, and then you could have a step from your lobby down, or steps from your lobby down.
Steps.
To the rear, so a split level, so to speak, so go up to go down.
Yep.
Certainly could consider that.
That's if you were, and everyone's desirous of the front being maintained, although Council Heritage Officer was persuaded that the demolition of the existing dwelling house was okay, no objection.
Yeah, I think the heritage planner we're actually dealing with at that point in time has since left Council, so it's quite possible that...
But you could actually step it down if you were keen to retain that very front portion.
Could I ask permission just to confer with my clients quickly on their position on this?
Yes.
If you don't mind, while you're deferring, conferring. Thank you.
For an extra 10 minutes.
Sorry about that. I do have some feedback from my clients if you'd like to hear. So we, as I said, it's been quite a journey. We would be very willing to change the levels accordingly if it meant an approval today, that or a condition of levels that meant going towards an approval today. We were working on the premise that we believe Council directed us to, which was retention of some of those elements, in turn those levels. But if an approval was permissible with a change in levels, we'd be very open to that discussion, and that in turn would, we hope, benefit the neighbours, as you say.
Well, we'll hear from the neighbours. We'll hear from the neighbours.
Can we
now
talk to the other draft reasons for refusal? Is that possible? Are we able to talk to the other draft reasons for refusal?
Well, I think what we'll do is we'll hear from the neighbours first.
Sure.
All right?
Yeah. Okay. And then we can come back.
I don't want to speak to those other reasons, yes, if possible. Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks.
Thank you for your time.
All right. Now, you have to go to the microphone. Ms. Tennant, you have to go to the microphone. Please sit, take a seat.
Give your name and where you live.
Please take a seat.
Thank
now,
you.
For the record, your name and address.
Maria Tennant, and I live at number 1 Ann Street, directly at the back of the proposed building.
All right, we know where you live because we went and saw your house.
Yes.
You have 3 minutes, only 3 minutes, starting now. All right, proceed.
Well, I'm very worried about the inaccurate drawings they submitted to the council by their architect. These are the 3 points. The privacy, a minor point, is the kitchen bench tops, they are saying, is a barrier, which is ridiculous because they can lean over and look into my house, into my bathroom, into my lounge, into my bedroom from the kitchen. So I'm not happy about those windows. They say the bench is going to, you know, visually stop that intrusion. Now, the development, next point, the developmentally it's a non-compliance regarding the site coverage ratio and the site setback. The first floor level of my house is higher than indicated in the drawing by the architect by at least 600 mils. This impacts the sight line in their favour. And the third problem is the building bulk and scale. Now, the council has... Sorry about this. The council has a regulation that they're using that to use only 60% of the site coverage, but they're using more than that. And when I spoke to one of the officers of the council, I was told that it's very close. Well, I'm not happy with that, because why should they be allowed to go above that? my privacy is a big problem for me, and the noise factor. It's connected to my fence, which is right at the back of where I live. I have a very small area in the backyard, and their house is going to be a tall, towering building, especially if they're allowed to do more filling, which they... Is that 3 minutes?
No, you've got 15 seconds.
Well, I'm very concerned about the noise. I don't want to be having... They're going to have parties on the deck. The deck is much bigger than the other decks in that area. Why should they be allowed it? Thank you.
All right, you've done very well. Next is Miss Olson. For the record, your name and address, please.
My name is Leonie Olson. I am in a house that is the lower on the north side to this proposal.
All right, and we visited your house earlier in the day.
I can't hear you terribly well, I'm sorry.
We visited your house earlier in the day.
You did?
Yes.
You did.
All right, you have 3 minutes starting now.
Thank you. Well, the invasion of my privacy is very important to me as well. On the upper floor, there is a direct sight line from the entertainment patio with its barbecue thing straight onto my private open space, which is my deck, and straight into my bedroom. It is a total invasion of our private home. Downstairs, the same thing happens. They are suggesting that they remove a perfect regular height timber fence that is less than 3 years old to replace it with, from what I can see, a timber fence that would be maybe a metre high and infill soil of half a metre. Our back courtyard and our oasis garden would be totally exposed to the bottom half of the house, which I presume are the bedrooms, and also the sight line goes from, if it were that low fence, right across our courtyard and into our living room. There are four places where I can see a sight line from this property into my property. We have a small cottage. We have huge buildings either side. We have Darling Street on the front. If we have this bulk, this height behind us, it would be living in a pit with very little sky to see. I feel this is totally inappropriate. The house at the front must be lovely, but we have to live with this huge height bulk behind us. That's what we'll see. I have heard words about hedge screening. The last illustration I saw from the architect was a little row of leaves along the top of the patio. Who does that screen? Well, what's that for? That's a token. That's insulting our intelligence to suggest that would help to preserve our privacy. I feel totally invaded by this very large building, and I know people must develop, they must make money, they must have their harbour view bridge view, but I don't see why we have to lose our quality of life, our amenity and our privacy so they can have a view. And I think I don't even need any more than that to say. It's just very upsetting and it's unfair. Thank you.
Right, thank you very much.
I'll save the trouble of pronouncing it.
Yes, you can come next. And again, for the record, your name and address.
Yeah,
Ali Noruzzi.
And you are the owner of...
Of 3 Ann Street.
You're right. Yes. Which we also went to earlier in the day.
Allegedly. I wasn't there, but I'm told you did.
We went through it and had a good look around.
Yes.
All right. Proceed. Three minutes.
Yes. Look, I won't take too much of your time. I echo what my fellow neighbours have said. It's... In some ways, it's nice to have a new building behind me, but the problem is, as they've said, it's out of all proportion for the area. And my fear is that, you know, we've had the same issue across the road from me. You know, they start with huge plans and they whittle down until they get something that's still unacceptable to those that live there. On one side, across the road from me, on Gladstone Street, I've got a block of flats. In front of me on Ann Street, I've got a... They finally managed to get the tribunal to allow them to build another level. And now behind me, because I have limited say per the council rules where I'm not directly attached, I'm sort of separated by a road, but this one is right attached to me, being built right on the borderline. It's going to be an enormous structure that's out of all proportion with our... properties, the 3 of our properties, and it's just almost a claustrophobic sense you get from, you know, all these going up, and I just don't understand how, you know, these size properties are allowed to go up in places that were not designed for this level of development. I mean, you've seen my courtyard, it's tiny. And now I'm going to have this enormous wall going up. And when they refer to the earlier drawings, I mean, that had enormous amount of problems of its own. They were looking straight into our properties. Now, this is, you know, lifted up a little bit, which is making it worse. It looks like a prison wall now. But that's the concern. To me, it's just claustrophobia. I'm less... you know, privacy is an issue, but probably just room to breathe when I've got a block of flats on one side, a second story going up in front of me, and now this giant thing right on my boundary. I'll stop there.
Thank you. All right. You can come back now, please. You've heard the concerns of some of the neighbours.
Yes.
It's mainly overlooking. And you wanted to address the other grounds of refusal as proposed.
Yeah, I mainly wanted to speak to... I might go through them one at a time, actually, but in terms of privacy, I assume the panel's main concerns are towards the east on the Ann Street properties. Would that be fair? Otherwise, I can talk about... The whole area.
Both to the rear mm-hmm. and on the lower side.
So to the Darling Street property,
yes.
To the north?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So just the specific wording of that reason for refusal, there actually was a section plan submitted, which is in the agenda, and Aaron's got with him now, which shows sight lines from the kitchen towards the Ann Street properties.
DA16D.
I just think it's important to point out that the Ann Street properties, because of the steep slope, they're 3 stories at Ann Street, and the top floor of those properties actually is lower than the ground floor of the proposed development, the uppermost floor. So all of those levels, and we have survey information which verifies that. We submitted elevation survey as well as a survey containing floor levels on the neighbouring properties with the application. So that section is accurate. And like I said, Aaron has that with him now. And what it shows is that the sight lines, given this, we've got a roughly 1 metre setback off that boundary, and then we're proposing a kitchen and the outdoor barbecue area, which pushes a person roughly 2 metres back off the side boundary. And those sight lines show that none of the windows will be viewable, and definitely none of the private open space will be viewable from those vantage points. The objective is obviously to maximise views of the Harbour Bridge. That's what everyone's trying to do here. So there's really no reason to believe that this configuration won't sit there permanently on this site. that the intent of the design is to allow for a person to cook dinner while looking out at the Harbour Bridge. So that bench will stay there. That'll be a natural privacy barrier, which our sections show is enough to prevent overlooking to windows and private open spaces of those properties. The property to the north on the Darling Street is, I've measured it to be 20 metres away, that balcony. For comparison, our site's 18 metres deep, so it's more than double the length of our property till we get to, sorry, it's the equal of the length of our property to get to that balcony. And the other thing to point out about that property is it's also a balcony, so it's overlooking our property as much as we're overlooking that property. I can't understand the distinction between why the subject development can't overlook another development which equally overlooks it. Just moving on to view loss then. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I think the one of the issues raised by the residents, all the speakers, is the sense of enclosure. Because you're going to have these high walls on your boundary, for instance, the RL of the wall that's adjoining the house that faces Darling Street with the shop at the front, like the existing RL, from what I can tell, of that fence is RL 31.5, according to your survey. There's no RL marked on the drawing, but it's like it's closer to 33 metres. It's like 2 metres higher. So that's, from what I can understand from the residents, is one of the concerns, and hence the recommendation, or what we're proposing in our refusal reasons, is that because of the siting, you've had to have these high walls on all the boundaries, and so the residents that the RLs of their courtyards aren't shown on your sections, but that's the sense of enclosure that reduces their amenity. What do you respond to that?
Would that mean that it's not necessarily a privacy issue, but a visual?
Well, I think it's privacy. The residents have a perceived privacy issue,
yep,
that they can see your window.
We can't see them. Yeah.
That's right. They feel like someone's going to be looking down at me all the time. They can't necessarily see, oh, there's a bench stopping the way, and they can't really look in.
Yep.
There's a perception of overlooking, even though they may not be able to overlook.
Yep.
If you have the window right there, and I'm in my courtyard, it feels like someone's watching you. You can't really see that there's a bench stopping the way. But more to the point is that the way, because the building's been raised, then you need these high walls, much higher than the normal boundary height fence on their side.
Yep.
That creates a sense of enclosure in the courtyards. Mm.
So I think a point was mentioned earlier about the heritage officer who visited with you today, perhaps not being, was it today, or a new heritage officer has seen the site and wasn't as concerned with that front wall as the one we met with earlier. If that is the case, then do we then have the ability to lower our building without necessarily retaining all those
so
elements?
Then how do you deal with the privacy issue the windows?
The privacy, just on that wall, we could actually lower the wall. If you look at that section we're referring to, DA16, the element that's blocking that view is the windowsill, not the wall. So the windowsill and the kitchen bench is sufficient. We don't actually need that wall at that extra height.
Yeah, but for the bedroom below, you need the wall higher for the privacy of the bedroom below,
section,
don't you?
Yeah. We don't need that.
Unshown on the section.
About this here and that wall there.
I guess we don't have that information in front of us to know what we're really getting. That's my problem.
Yeah, that wall there, I mean, that's a different issue we talked about before with retention. That's not there for privacy purposes. We don't need that. The windowsill is sufficient.
So the fence and the wall.
Yeah, they're basically cut it off at the same point. The windowsill and the that wall basically cut it off at the same point. So, like I said, that DA16 is on the agenda for today's meeting, and it shows the sight line I'm talking about using survey levels.
Okay.
Should I go to the views just quickly? So we've read Council's assessment, and maybe I should ask again, is there a concern to the properties to the west, I know there's a Fawcett Street property which is discussed in the council report.
If I'll talk for the panel, we went to the resident up the road, Fawcett Street.
Yep.
And we stood on the corner. We stood on her front porch.
Yep.
At the ground level.
Yep.
Then you go up the steps. We stood on her front porch, and we went inside her her living area at the front of the premises,
yep.
and sat on her sofa, mm-hmm. and you can clearly see a quite expansive view of the Harbour Bridge.
Mm.
And my feeling is that we just don't have enough information in terms of a proper view analysis with